Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Well, how lovely to hear the buzz of chat in church and just how exciting it is to be in church on Easter Sunday compared to last year, if you were around or you weren't around last year. It was all happening from our church shutdown and all the stuff, but so good to come here and celebrate. We recognize how privileged we are actually right now to be able to worship together and sing together, and so many places around the world are not. Really in dark places. So we're hugely thankful, but also we recognize in the Northern Hemisphere, particularly just battling huge areas. So Resurrection Sunday, my goodness. I mean, what a journey has it been for the disciples? Those disciples who were sitting at the foot of the cross that's not there anymore. Those disciples that watched their Jesus be crucified excruciatingly. Those disciples and the friends of Jesus and the mother of Jesus watching the most horrific death, and yet, Jesus promised that it would all be over in 3 days was realized. And what a beautiful story of people running. I love John's gospel, actually. Peter and John have a running race. Have you read that? and John, who writes the book, says, and the disciple whom Jesus loved arrived first, meaning he. He boasts in his own gospel that he was the faster runner. But there's this race. Is it true? Could it be? No. Nobody rises from the dead. But he said so. Like, could it be? And so they run to the tomb and hear, thank God for the women. Or the women, the first preachers of the gospel. Did you hear that? They took the good news back to the others who disbelieved. Thank you, Jesus, for your foresight. But Peter, verse 12, rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. Can you imagine what it would be like to be there? We know the story so well, and we try to picture what it would be like, a cave or a tombstone or something. But just imagine going to the Bathurst Cemetery and seeing a body that wasn't there, like dug up. Like, you would be horrified. You'd be frightened. Like, that's what it was like, you know, as if there was a big hole in the ground where someone precious was, and now it wasn't. Now the coffin's gone. You see, this is what it was like for them. This is why they doubted and questioned. But what does it mean for us today? The resurrection story is a fact. I mean, there's so many research articles that have explored all the mysteries, and you know, there's so much proof for the resurrection. I don't need to go there today. But what I want to talk about today is what it means for you and I here in 2021. What difference does this story make to us today? Is it some nice little story about good triumphing over evil, or is it just a little parable or something we can take heart to? No, I think it's way, way more than that. We can live resurrected. I love that song we played at the start. I've been listening to it for about a year. But that tag that goes, if you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. How awesome is that? If you walked out of the grave, Jesus, I'm coming along too. I'm walking with you. And that's exactly what the point was. In Romans 8:11, it says this, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, you got that? If the same spirit that lived in Jesus dwells in you, and we know that that's true. That's what a Christian is. The spirit of God lives in us. So if that's true, then he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. This is such an awesome verse. If that same power that lived in us, that lived in Jesus, then it's true. Then the same thing is going to happen to us, that we too will be resurrected, that we too will have the same privileges. This is amazing. Romans 6 talks about, you know, being baptized into his death, then we're baptized into his resurrection. We are joined with Christ right now. It's like, as much as we were strung on the cross with Christ, guess what? Now we're raised with Christ. The life I live, I no longer live to my own flesh, but now I live to God, to Christ. You see, this is what the point is. It's not that we'd stay at the foot of the cross weeping. It's joy comes in the morning. It's not that we despair about the world. No, that we live resurrected lives. So what would it mean for us today, 2021, to live resurrected? I found seven things in the Bible. I'm sure there's more. But seven seem like a good number. Let me run through. These are so exciting. Seven effects on your life if you live resurrected. If the same Spirit lives in me that lived in Jesus and rose Jesus from the grave, then these seven realities, these seven effects are going to be in me more and more and more. You ready? And I reckon if these things are true in our world, look out, world. Number one, we are to live a life of victory. You will find believers in Christ living a life of victory. Look at Romans 8:37. It says, in all these things, what things? Just previously, Paul's talking about tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, the sword. He lists those seven things. He said, even in those things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. None of us are facing that mostly, I would think. We have a little few trials and tribulations along the way. But in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors. Just as Jesus was more than a conqueror for that grave, you and I are more than conquerors. Victory is assured. It's like if I was racing around Mount Panorama today with those other crazy guys, you know, in a race, it's like victory's won. All I got to do is just keep steering. It's done. You see, victory is assured. I've just got to stay in the race and turn left and turn left and up around the cutting and down left. You see, victory is assured. That's what it's like for us. We are more than conquerors. The life in us, get this, the life in us is the life of the one who sits on the throne of heaven. Does that do your head in? The same one in us is the same one who sits in the throne room of heaven in charge of the universe. We are more than conquerors. So live resurrected. On Tuesday, when you go back to work, live resurrected in your marriage, victory in your friendships, in your futures, in your careers. What difference would it make each day if you got out of bed? I'm a conqueror. I have a victory. Today, I'm going to conquer this thing, life. We're going to face momentary trials. In fact, Paul did occasionally. And he said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs it all. Even if you do have a few problems in the day, you know what? Even the problems are working towards your victory. Live a life of victory. Each day, wake up. I'm a conqueror. Nudge the person you live with. Hey, I'm a conqueror. Today, look out. Day. That's number one. These get better, all right. Number two, you have an eternal future. You have eternity. No fear in death. It's sad, sure, particularly for people who are left. But I have no fear of death because I know my destiny. I know what Jesus has purchased for me. 1 Peter 1:3 says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's how we get our living hope. And he goes on. 2, an inheritance. This is your inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. That is your future. Forever, get used to living. Death isn't sleeping. Death is living. Living an abundant life. Look at that. And right now, Christ is like, he's keeping this inheritance for you. It's imperishable. It can't, everything in this world is perishable, right? But nothing in heaven perishes. It's undefiled. It's completely pure and holy and beautiful. It's unfading. It doesn't diminish with age. You know, after a few thousand years, we go, oh, a bit sick of this. The light's dim. I tell you, we're just getting started. Isn't that the old hymn when we've been there 10,000 years? And it's kept in heaven. You have an eternal future, an eternal destiny. You're going to live forever, ruling and reigning with Christ. It's not an eternal church service, okay? It's all right. You're ruling and reigning with Christ. My goodness. Gives us new life. But not only is eternal life in the future, eternity is now. It's now. We taste the eternal life now. We can just get used to and enjoy living for eternity. Number three, we have the freedom to live like we really want to live. The victory, living resurrected, means that we can say no to the things we really want to say no to. Because our conscience has been changed. And now not only our conscience has changed, but the power to live according to our conscience is in us. In Titus 2:12, it says, it teaches us to say no. It's the grace of God it's talking about. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. Who doesn't want to live like that? Most people I talk to, they want to live well. They want a good life. They want to live upright, self-controlled, godly lives. And do you know what? The resurrection gives us the power to say no. I've talked about my dog, Morris, before. And I say to this dog a lot, no, no, stay, no, 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 stay, no, no. It's training him to sit and just drop. He does that. He does it really well, but for like 3 seconds. No, no. And so we say this word a lot. But can you imagine saying that same word? Like to some thoughts that come in your head? No. The temptation not to forgive someone? No. To come some kind of movie that's really not going to help you in life? No. Change channel. Something that pops up in your feed and your screen? Nope. We can do this. Not because we're trying to be moralists, but because it's good for us. And actually deep down, we know that when we compromise, it's like, oh. The resurrected Christ gives us the power to say no. I love it. It's actually freedom, the power to say no. It's actually the thing that brought me to Christ because I couldn't say no before Christ. Once I found Christ, then I could live in victory, resurrected. So live resurrected, having the freedom to say no. Number four, do you know that you get insight and understanding? I love, do you know what happened after the resurrection? Jesus walked, it's a funny story, it's the end of Luke's gospel. He walks with a few of his friends to a town called Emmaus. And it's kind of like he disguises himself as who he is. And so he's just walking along and these friends don't know that it's Jesus. I don't know how but it just doesn't, they don't get it. And they're saying all these things. But what Jesus does, says he unpacks the whole Old Testament. It must have been a long journey. And he explained to them that the Christ must suffer. And he explained the whole deal. And right at the end, when they sort of let him go, when they realized who he was, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures. They just realized that I have just been taught by God himself. I've just been walking this journey, but actually God himself has been showing me about life. Do you know what? You and I can walk that same journey every day. You don't have to dial back to Israel or, you know, find another. No, no, it just takes a moment to close your eyes and you are right there on the road to Emmaus. Jesus, help me. Insight. It's one of the prayers I pray a lot. Lord, give me insight here. Just pause. Just practice right now. Close your eyes. What's something you don't know? Something you're puzzling over. Something you just, oh, I wish I knew the answer to that. Just, Jesus, can you give me insight? And right there, you enter the presence of God. Just in a moment, you call Jesus to mind and ask him to help you. Insight. Amen. Just one 30-second prayer could open up everything for you. In fact, Jeremiah 33:3, it's an easy one to remember. Jeremiah 33:3. Just call to me and I'll answer you great and mighty things that you don't know. Call to me, pick up the phone. Call to me and answer, and I'll answer you and tell you great and mighty things that you don't know. Man, we, because of the resurrection, we have immediate access to insight and knowledge. How amazing. All right, number five. There's seven. We're almost there. Not only do you get insight, but you get direction and guidance. He guides you. Like as soon as Jesus was resurrected, he gave instructions to his disciples, you know, go to this place, I'll meet you, go there or do this or do that. It's the same today. Jesus can actually guide our lives. One of the biggest stresses of our life is, what should I do now? You know, the big questions, you know, what job, what career? Do I move here? Do I go there? Do I marry this person? Do I live in this house? Do I buy this thing? Do I, you know, these are big questions. But you don't have to worry about those questions. Just get insight from Jesus, direction. In John 16:13, just before Jesus was actually taken, he said this. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. We get a teacher, someone who walks alongside of us. It's the Holy Spirit. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, now we get the Holy Spirit inside us who can lead us all the time. And he can whisper to us, go this way, try that, this way, this way. And you walk, it's like this voice behind you, guiding you each step of the way. I know I've preached on it before, but it's just an amazing thing that you are not alone here. You're not left to make decisions on your own. You have a loving Father who guides you and walks with you because of the resurrection. Number six, you have an eternal family because of the resurrection. An eternal family. Get used to each other, friends. I'm telling you, we are going to be with each other a lot, with a few others. How amazing. Like we get to, it's not just about me, individual me. It's not just about me and God and my little, no, it's us and a couple other churches around the world. I mean, billions of people right today. I mean, how many people are celebrating Christ? All kinds of churches, all kinds of ways. That's why it's so important that we uphold the body of Christ. And we don't disparage or dismiss, you know, differences. And we honor people and we love the body of Christ because guess what? We're going to be with each other for a long time. So take time to get to know each other and enjoy each other's company. In Ephesians 1, it says that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. He's adopted us into his family together. An amazing thing, part of the world. You know, pre-COVID, I used to travel a lot, and I would end up in places like Kazakhstan or Papua New Guinea or Myanmar. I'm going to pray for Myanmar. But everywhere I travel, and I could hardly speak the language, but it didn't matter. It's like I had a connection with Christians in strange countries. It's like we could just get by. But there's a beautiful connection that immediately bonds you to believers all around the world, regardless of whether you can speak their language or not. There's a common heartbeat. So we live resurrected together. We do it together. We enjoy company, life groups, etc. And finally, and the musos are going to come up on the stage in a sec. We're going to rest. This is, I think, the most amazing reality. We get to rest. And I've made this the seventh. In Matthew 11, 28. It says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest. You know, our world last year actually experienced a bit of rest. And this year, a lot of us are trying to keep the lid on activity. It's wise. Because 2019, I think the world was crazy. Come up, guys, stop playing. The world was crazy in 2019. The amount of aircraft in the sky, you know, the amount of people doing all kinds of things. And somehow in 2020, we just managed to stop everything. It's almost like a great big rest. But Jesus doesn't just give us a slowing down, and that he does give us that. He gives us rest, but he gives us a cycle of rest. He gives us sleep. Sleep is good. Psalm 4:8 says, "In peace, you will both lie down and sleep." Have you ever laid down and not slept? That's horrible. 2 o'clock in the morning. Who's done that? But the resurrection gives us rest, lying down and sleep. It gives us a Sabbath rhythm. It gives us a day off, a whole day, to rest and worship. Our physical bodies, he honors and looks after our physical bodies. But not only that, the resurrection gives us our soul rest. You know what that is? It's the freedom not to perform. I don't have to try harder all the time. I don't have to be better all the time. I don't have to try and prove myself to him all the time. I don't have to have a performance or KPIs. God, through the Christ resurrected, said that that's finished. My relationship with him, it's all I ever need. I have rest for my soul because Jesus has paid all the price and made the achievement. I can just walk with him and enjoy his company and receive rest. I tell you, our world needs rest for the soul. We've started to rest kind of coming out of COVID, but we need rest for the soul. People are burning with, am I good enough? Have I got what it takes? Will I achieve enough? Will I be smart enough? Pretty enough? Will I be something enough? Successful enough? Financial enough? You fill in your own blanks. Jesus said, it's finished. You don't need, there's no growth criteria. It's done. Rest for the soul. I tell you, the resurrection has given us these things. We can live resurrected. Live in victory. Live in rest. Live in communion with Christ. It's going to change your world. So this morning, I really believe God wants us to make a step towards him in living resurrected. And would you just stand with me for a moment? Because we're going to sing. Jesus, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the cross, but we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you that in the resurrection you've given us life. We thank you that in the resurrection you've given us freedom and rest and joy and life and guidance, provision. All these things come out of the resurrection and an eternal hope. So Jesus, help us to step into your resurrection. Help us to make your resurrection our resurrection. Help us to live the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead that lives in us. So let me ask you, just between you and God, have you got the Holy Spirit living in you? Have you committed your life to Christ? Have you given Him your heart? Because that's the starting point. Once you've done that, then we just live out of that experience each day. But you've got to start. You've got to start somewhere. And maybe you've never done this before. Maybe you've been around churches and Christians, but you've never said, no, Jesus, I want you in my heart. I want the resurrected Christ living in me. I need you, Lord Jesus. I need change. I need extra something inside of me that's going to help me to live this life. This morning, your answer is Jesus. You need Him in your heart 24/7. It's going to change your world. If you don't know Christ this morning, today is your day. Today is a different day. Today is a day of freedom. Today is a day of leaving the past behind and looking straight into the future. However old you are, young or old, or it just doesn't matter. Come to Christ. Come to the resurrected Christ. Is there anyone? Just raise your hand, slip your hand up in the air to this morning. And I want Jesus in my heart. I want Him. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else? Just I need that this morning. Jesus, I need you in my heart this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Lord Jesus, anyone, just that you feel like you've tried before, you've tried to be good, but failed. But this morning, it's not about being good. It's about having Jesus in your heart, the resurrected Jesus. This is something we do every church service. But it's special today because we're celebrating the resurrected Christ. So let's just pray together this prayer. Close your eyes and pray. And as you pray this, genuinely the Holy Spirit will come inside of you and start to live a brand new life for you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. Please forgive me for trying to live life without you. Come and live with me. I want to follow you all the days of my life. So fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. That's awesome. There's a number of you here. Just prayed that prayer. I'd love to chat quickly afterwards and just help you make sure you're connected to the right journey. But for the rest of us, is the choice to live resurrected. Each day, to wake up going, Jesus has given me so much. To walk into His resurrection, newness of life every day. So just as we sing this last chorus, just make that recommitment to Christ today. Jesus, I'm going to live each day resurrected. Not suffering in the past, lying at the cross, but no, acknowledging that Jesus is Christ, hey?
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.